Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Awkward silences all around. I think we should start a new game called Make Gary Baumgarten Snap. Did you notice that? It was just a whole lot of Joe Lieberman's never going to win. Rick, let me tell you exactly why you're wrong.
There was no way out of that.
No, he just... Gary Baumgarten is, I think, a little crazy. And I mean that in a good
in
way.
In the best way possible.
No, in the best way possible.
Well, he's
not
a
Laura,
New Yorker.
Not Laura Caviezel crazy. Well, that's what I mean. He's, you know what it is? You know what Gary Baumgarten is? He's fiery. Mm-hmm. That's what he is. Because we'll be talking, everything will be fine, and then you mentioned MySpace or Jomentum. Man, he just uncorks a whole can of angry on you. So, that was the case today. Anyway, Jomentum. Later on, we'll be talking to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who's not angry, he's just giggly. We're gonna talk about, well, a couple things. Among them, Cynthia McKinney. Man, this is a great political season. Jomentum and then Cynthia McKinney. Who, she's the one who, you know, remember she allegedly cuffed that police officer and whacked him. And then she was, you know, and then she was just being all snotty about, like, she was, like, not showing up to any of the debates. She was so convinced she was going to win. Not, as Dr. Phil would say in that commercial, not going to happen. You're going to lose. We're all going to laugh at you. So we'll find out the latest developments there. Dennis Pitzenbarger will be in just a few. You know what? We still haven't finished. We'll go to the city desk here in a second. I still haven't finished reading the lyrics to the songs that are in today's hit parade. So Crazy by Nels Barkley, Me and You by Cassie. That triggered the Me and You and a Dog Named Boo comment. And my only comment about that is this.
Oh, you already made the comment.
I didn't. What was the comment?
He's not done yet.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Me and You and a Dog Named Boo is a song that A, K Hits is probably playing right now. B, I don't really know. I only really know the hook, but, because I grew up when I did and watched so much TV, I really was raised by the television. I was one of those kids. Just a one-eyed babysitter. And like 98% of the time that I've ever heard Me and You and a Dog Named Boo, I heard it on a commercial for like a Ronco record where it was back, you know, because, you know, they would that thing with like, you know, you get the following 45 hits. And then they'll play the hook from each in a row as the song titles scroll by on the screen. And in this commercial, it was always back-to-back with Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. So all I know of Me and You and a Dog Named Boo is the hook. But in my head, it immediately then is followed by the Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot
Bikini.
Everybody
has song. That, yeah. Because I remember there was a soft rock hits that I wanted to buy, and I just knew all of them in order.
Well, what? Give me an example.
No, it would be like, is this love? And then it would go like, is this love that I'm searching for? Is this the love I've been looking for? Then it would go to When I See You Smile.
Yeah, by Bad English.
That one.
Yeah,
yep.
See, and they all, and it's just, and it's
and
like
it's just
five
in your head.
Seconds.
It just rotates. Yeah,
and it's like a medley in your head.
Nothing
so,
from Journey?
Probably. I remember, and there was this commercial they used, and it was always two companies. There was always two companies that were behind, this is very relatable. It's not even Thursday. Look how relatable we're being. You bastards. There were two companies. There was Sessions, and it was Sessions Presents, you know, and there was some record. And then there was the other one, the one that was behind all the rockin' ups, because there was Sessions, and that was the mellow soft rock one.
Oh, Monsters of Rock, is this what you're talking about?
Monsters of Rock, and there was another record, Monsters of Rock, Monster Ballads.
My friend got drunk a couple of months ago and bought all of the Monster Ballads.
Oh, that's so great, really?
Yeah.
There's a band, remember how I was just saying there's wacky, there's that Bar of the Twilight, which is on Powell in like 17th or Milwaukee, you know, it's by that billiards place.
Used to be punk. Bands now, it's jazz bands.
But it's all the weirdest names for bands. There's a band playing there the other night called Monster Ballads 9, which is great. What a great name for a band. They taught us how to live. They taught us how to love. When you're drunk, you'll buy all of them. But there was Sessions, and they made the soft rock compilations. And then there was, which is always like Summer Nights or, you know, whatever that, Summer Lovin', you know, that. And then there was a company called Silver Eagle Records. And Silver Eagle Records, they made all the hard-edged ones, like Rockin' Down the Block, which I owned. I think I still own that somewhere, actually. Anyway, When I See You Smile, that's fantastic. That was, you know, that was my junior prom song.
Really?
Yeah. Just a lot of, like, bad purple smoke at the Richland Inn or whatever the hell the hotel was, and, like, ill-fitting shoes.
Ours was awesome. It was Titanic, My Heart Will Go On.
Sweet.
Oh,
coolest.
I know.
Okay, Me and You by Cassie is currently number three on the Kids Hit Parade today. This is apparently the number three song in the country. I don't know Cassie. I don't know anything about her. I'm assuming she's blonde. The song is Me and You. The lyrics are, baby, I swear to God, this is real. We're going to do these throughout the show. We'll check in with the top 10. This is according to Billboard Magazine. The lyrics from every song on Billboard Magazine's current top 10 list. I'm so glad I'm not a parent. Imagine hearing this coming out of your, like, 11-year-old daughter's bedroom. Me and You by Cassie, featuring the lyrics, Baby, I'll love you all the way down. Get you right where you like it. I promise you'll like it. That's icky.
Yeah.
Let's see. Deja Vu by Beyonce Knowles. Boy, I try to catch myself, but I'm out of control. Your sexiness is so appealing, I can't let it go. Oh, 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 oh. And then this Fergie song, which, as I get, was on Entourage on Sunday. And remind me to talk about that later. But I heard this song. Where the hell did I hear this? I heard it on iTunes, I guess, because I had read some review saying it was the worst song ever written. And, of course, whenever somebody says it's the worst song ever written, that's I am automatically going to hear it. And so I went on iTunes. I listened to it. It's actually not so bad. I would play it here if I had, but it's relentlessly profane, and I don't have an edit of it. But then it was on Entourage. London Bridge by Fergie, and she's that chick who wets herself in public, right? that's how I know her.
Yeah.
I'm such a lady, but I'm dancing like a hoe. Because you know what? I don't give an F, so here we go. How come every time you come around, my London Bridge wants to go down?
Oh, good Lord.
No. And then she says, like, and then she just stutters a lot. She does a lot of a Lundy, which is clearly like a whole my lumpy whatever. I've got
the
a lump,
lumps.
Whatever that song was.
Lovely lady lumps.
It's not called I've Got a Lump. All right. So there you go. And so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher top, the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon. PBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Still to hear. 40 mile an hour winds coming through here.
We can't complain, though, because now it's too cold.
I feel like I'm out on a fishing boat somewhere.
I have my zip up.
Are you really
freezing.
Complaining about the cold now? You will become every old caller to a talk radio. This is my friend Todd and I used to do this thing where we would just our depiction.
It just happens to be colder I am at the moment.
Our depiction of old people calling a talk radio show.
I don't know, but it's between the polar bears in here.
Which one's the air vent?
Right there. That's a light. That's a light bulb.
Okay.
That's a vent.
I thought they might be speakers.
No,
I think
no, those
speakers.
Are hidden cameras.
No, but my friend Todd and I our catch-all depiction of an old person calling a talk radio show and talking about the weather was,
well, you know, it's so hot. Do you remember when it was cold? Yeah, it was cold. Now it's hot,
and that's we become that because it's been hot in here for like 5 months. We've been bitching about the fact that there's no air. So Will and I predicted, by the way, that this would happen. That Will has cranked the air conditioning up as high as he can, and so now you can. Yeah, now our fingertips are turning blue, and it's so cold. And now Sarah's zipping up, and Tim is complaining about 40 mile an hour winds. They're never going to fix it.
This would be the envy of Al Gore if he was sitting in here.
They're never going to. Yeah,
bring the polar bears in here to live.
The key is just to put Will in charge of global warming. Yeah, the key, but they're never going to fix it because we're, you know.
No, I'd rather have it too cold. It was starting to smell weird in here.
Yeah, I kind of like it too cold myself. Anyway, a German scientist has been testing an anti-stupidity pill while encouraging results on mice and fruit flies. It was Hans-Hugo Roper, the director of the Max Planck Institute of Molecular Genetics in Berlin, that had tested the pill thwarting hyperactivity in certain brain nerve cells. Lots of big words here. Helping to stabilize short-term memory and improve alertness. With mice and fruit flies, we were able to eliminate the loss of short memory, brags that 62-year-old Roper. He's quoted as saying in the German newspaper that it is dubbed the world's first anti-stupidity pill.
You know, any sort of anti-stupidity pill would have such a devastating effect on the American economy. There's our entire economic infrastructure would just implode. Mm-hmm. Walmarts would be empty.
No. There'd be no reason for country music. Time now for the religious nutcase one.
Tim Riley has said that.
I'm a joke.
I'm a team player here.
I'm a big fan.
I especially like it when they talk about bombing people.
And I'm disgusted by the Dixie Chicks. Dateline, Arkansas, so you know what you're in for here. A preacher's wife has been arrested after police say she pulled a gun on her husband because she was allegedly upset over text messages he had sent to a member of a church youth group. Tammy Estes.
Tammy.
Surrendered to Estes. Law officer. They caught her in front of the Pentecostal Church of God in Newport after a brief standoff at the church Sunday morning.
A brief standoff at the church. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love
that
phrase.
A little standoff on the prairie. Nobody was injured. She was taken to the Jackson County Detention Center. Police say a church service had just begun when Estes pulled a gun on her husband, preacher Larry Estes, about 7 o'clock.
Larry Estes.
Mm-hmm. According to congregation members, she was upset over messages Larry Estes allegedly exchanged with a youth group member. She demanded he admit infidelity. Most church members left the building, but several stayed behind, tried to convince Tammy to surrender. Police arrived, and other members of the congregation left the church. About 9 p.m., Tammy's parents went to church. About 10 minutes later, she surrendered. Larry Estes was hired as the church's minister about a year ago. He's also the owner of Du Bois with a Z Plumbing.
Okay. There you go. There's your religious nutcase watch. One more here, then we'll bring in Dennis. I know he's actually only stopping by for a few. He's got stuff to do. And then we have more coming up next hour, including we've had somebody who emailed in who we apparently made a passing reference the other day to Tim's Eskimo commercial and never bothered to explain what that was or to provide any context for that remark.
Eskimo commercial.
You know what I'm talking about. We played it. You were gone, Sarah. It was when you were in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we'll play that later on. We'll also talk about Scotty J, who turned 40 this week.
And we are terrible, terrible people and didn't do anything.
Yes. So the question is, what does one get a 40-year-old intern?
That's a good question, isn't it?
You just be thinking about how to best answer that question. Let's see. Mike, hello.
Hello, is this Rick?
Oh, you want to talk to Rick? Yes, it is.
I recognize your voice now. I'm sorry, I was painting.
That's okay, sir.
You know, it's okay. Interesting you were talking about those songs, remembering them sequentially.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 70s, I used to listen to the station you're on now. It was 97 Country. And I don't know how they do it in radio, but they would play that, like, you know, "You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma," followed by George Jones, followed by Willie Nelson. And I still, to this day, when I hear one of those songs ending...
Do you mean that they would play the songs in that order, or as like part of a commercial?
You could set your watch by it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they would do it like, you know, they would do like three song blocks. And strangely, a guy that sounded just like Tim Riley would introduce them.
Tim, were you working here in the 70s?
No, I wasn't here in the 70s.
All right. Probably the songs... What year would this have been, sir?
Like somewhere between like 74 and 76.
So would that have been a reel, probably, do you think, Tim? Off reel to reel?
Probably a reel.
Because when I worked... Because, you know, reel to reel is like you had back, you know, like...
Then you would dub the voice announcements onto a big cart.
Yeah, if you remember back like in the 50s and 60s, those big reel to reel decks that when you're on your uncle's hi-fi system, that they would play like that they would play like Esquivel or whoever that guy was, like a cocktail music off of. That's how a lot of a lot of frugally run radio stations operated back in the day. I myself worked at some of those where my sole job was to come in every day and queue up the big reel-to-reel tape that had all the country songs. And, of course, because it's reel-to-reel tape, there's no way to change the order. So, yeah, it literally was like Charlie Pride, Oak Ridge Boys, Statler Brothers, Winona. Charlie Pride, Oak Ridge Boys, Statler Brothers, Winona. Like every single day, over and over and over and over.
Well, I've been conditioned.
All right. Thank you.
Well, yes. It's on now.
Yes.
I really enjoy listening to your show. First time I ever called you. And
well, thank you. How did you discover the Rick Emerson radio program, sir?
Well, I started listening to you before the unpleasantness because I'm one of those delivery drivers.
Of course you are. Wait, hold on. Well, let me just... I think that
oh, no.
I think that absolutely that absolutely requires that we do a thing. Wait, hold on. Because I believe
Why
that
punish him?
That's wait, hold on.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
That's not even nice.
That's derogatory, actually.
Oh!
Look at this. Scotty J's new delivery driver sounder, which inexplicably has bagpipes in the back of it. All right, thank you, Mike. Will you spread the word about the show, will you please?
I will, and you make my days go faster.
Thank you. That's the best compliment we can get. Thanks, Mike.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
All right, take it easy.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable playing that for our delivery drivers who we love so dearly. Mr. Nose Picker, that's not very nice.
I was so distracted by the fact that it apparently takes place on a Scottish moor that I never really realized that he's referring to nose picking.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Go on, crew. Go on, mama, like an S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U-S-U. Go on,
that doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, that's Jill.
All right, that doesn't make any sense. All right. Have we finished the story?
We never even started one.
Excellent. All right, well, let's take a break from the city desk here and welcome Dennis Pitsenbarger, who I think is lurking outside with his hand suggestively stuffed down his pants. Let's have Dennis step in. We'll talk to him for a few. We'll take a break. We'll come back. He was just here.
Hello. Oh, there he is.
All right. Thank you.
Danny Bonaducci.
Seriously. Danny Bonaducci, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what's coming up next hour, by the way. We'll do It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, Tim's Eskimo commercial. You heard that rap song I played before the program, before the show, when we were in here. Yes. The one with the differently abled gentleman.
Yeah, and I really didn't think it was that bad until I heard the chorus.
Oh, no, see, because you only heard the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like that Tammy Swindell song, where it's like you hear her sing, and then when her kid kicks in, you realize the full true horror of the thing. So we may or may not get to that.
We have to get to that.
Our snakes on
to the people.
Amazon plane announcement. Don't forget, we're going to be at Dante's tonight. That is 9 o'clock, right?
You have to get there earlier, though, because it was packed last week. You were there.
Yes, I can never remember. 9 o'clock on Tuesdays, and then we're not there on Wednesdays for now.
Yeah, I don't really watch on Wednesdays.
Not for many weeks. We might start going on Wednesdays when Storm could conceivably be in the bottom three.
But I watched the reality show, and Lucas has a really good song this week, and he is singing it really well. It's going to be his week, I have a feeling.
See, everybody else is late to the Lucas party. I've been a big fan of that. Not a fan. That's the wrong way to put it. I have been a huge believer
in his talent. This sounds wrong, but he finally learns how to open up his throat a little bit and actually sing.
Like an Asian.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, stop.
No, in a hot dog eating contest. Hi. Dennis Pitsenbarger, ladies. Oh, wait, let me find a... do we have some appropriate music to play for...
Like a heaping helping of Betty White's heart.
Dennis Pitsenbarger. The Portland Tribune. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Kind of on the downswing of a very busy day. I appreciate you letting me come in a little early. I got to fly out tonight for a BMW event. So
now life is hard. Do you realize how much you sound like Danny Bonaducci?
I don't.
Let's take a moment and listen. Let's do a side-by-side comparison, shall we?
All right, listen to what he says, and you should repeat it right after.
Okay. All right. In fact, is Danny Bonaducci on the phone here? I think he's on the phone.
Should be drinking, kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, do you have your phone?
No. Yes, I do.
Okay, just have Sarah call the inside line or the whatever.
How do you hit the numbers? This thing's so confusing.
It's a phone.
Some damn computer phones.
Is this a light or an air vent?
Shut up.
I smell...
Listen, you become a model and suddenly you're all lit. All right. All right,
so Scotty J, that's Dennis calling.
So right. Am I talking into the microphone or
Scotty,
my phone?
No, into your phone. Okay, Scotty is answering it. Okay, Scotty, just put him on hold. Yeah, Scotty, just put Dennis on hold.
Hello.
Put him on hold.
Okay, there you go. I'm turning off your mic, Dennis.
Okay.
Okay, just wait there. All right, so we're going to play Danny Bonaducci. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of this, and then I just want you to whatever degree you can, just try to repeat what he says. All right.
Drinking kind of consumed all my free time.
You have to pick him up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to pick him up. All right, hold on. So let me play it one more time.
Drinking kind of consumed all my free time. Drinking kind of consumed my whole time.
All my free
time. Are you drunk now? All right.
Quite possibly.
Well, that's freaky. All right, hold on. Let's try this again.
Anything else?
All right, hold on.
Oh. My problem is not that Mel was drunk. My problem is that Mel wasn't nearly drunk enough.
I did not catch any of that except for I drunk enough. Okay.
Jesus. Okay, we're hanging up now. Failed experiment.
Wait, on air radio.
Why couldn't we just have him do it on the microphone?
That was okay. Just try this again.
Maybe we
it's a really bad idea.
Drinking kind of consumed all my free time, and that's what I did. And it's one thing to be...
I'm not going to remember all that.
Drinking kind of consumed my whole time, and that's all I could think about was drugs and drinking.
Okay, we're just going to end this. This is a road than nowhere.
Hi, Dennis.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I was, getting around town. I appreciate you letting me come in early. Like I said, as you make fun of me for life being rough,
yeah.
I have to go do a BMW thing. They have to go pretend like they care about my opinion.
And so what are you doing for BMW?
Going to go drive the new 3 Series, the new...
Is this because of the Portland Tribune and you write the column and you do the whole thing? And
yeah. I'm going to use it
how
for...
How does one get that job? I have people who ask me, how you got a job where you just drive. You know what it is?
That's I don't just do that.
That's like getting a job where you just go to brothels and just have sex with, you know, with blondes all day. And then you're like, well, let's talk about Cherry. Now, Cherry satisfied all my needs as a man. Her handling was fantastic. I found her to be well-groomed and trimmed in all appropriate ways. I mean, it's just very strange. It's a strange job.
I started in the...
Ours is normal.
All I think about is drinking all day. I started in the car business sweeping a body shop floor before I had a driver's license. I have worked in the automobile business my entire life. I'm 36 this year, which makes it over 20 years. And throughout that, I have gained an enormous amount of... knowledge and experience in a lot of different things that had to do with automobiles.
Okay.
And I always wanted, when I sold cars, there was a guy.
Were you a car salesman?
Oh, yes, this explains
so much. Really?
You did not know I was a car salesman.
I guess I should have guessed. I should have just made the logical assumption. So tell me you sold used cars.
Oh, I sold.
Tell me you wore a sport coat and said things like, hey, pal. What's it going to take to put you in this car today?
Oh.
You don't want to know.
Are you prepared to... Why don't you just get inside? Just take it out for a spin, sir. Turn up the radio. Feel that handling.
I was actually quite the opposite. I just didn't really care. And probably why I wasn't very successful.
Why are you wasting my time?
Pretty much, 95 degree. Take a day like today.
Right.
There is 1,000 car salesmen in this city right now in a 3-piece suit sitting out on a black skillet of pavement trying to sell a car that's been sitting in the sun for approximately 8 hours and it's about 178 degrees inside.
Hating their lives.
And there's a person that comes up in shorts and a tank top, maybe sipping an ice cold drink. And they walk up and say, no, sir, I'm just looking. Well, let me help you look for the exit, because I'm here to sell cars. And I don't think that you would waste your time.
You just begin punching them at a certain point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would just... I'll tell you what. The toughest job in the world, the toughest job I've ever done, even what I do now, the toughest job in this city, I think, is being a car salesman. It is tough.
Well, it's got to suck having a job where everyone presumptively hates you.
That's why I quit.
That's the thing, is it doesn't matter. They don't. It's like being a tow truck driver or like a malpractice lawyer.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who you are. So what do you do, car salesman? And immediately, like in your spam folder, like in your email, like you are in the a-hole folder.
Yeah.
Like in their head.
Get put in the junk file.
Oh, yeah. Dennis Pitzenberg, a-hole.
Yeah, exactly. And, I would go out, and I'm not that bad of a guy. I mean, I know I'm a little boisterous and a little loud and whatnot. But you guys at least pretend like you like me, and overall, you meet people randomly. Thank you for that, at least a little bit. Jeez, you could just chime in. We're live.
Dennis, of course we love you.
Okay, but that's the thing. I'm a pretty nice, likable guy to meet. Then I would meet people, and it'd be like, oh, yeah, you get to talking to people, because I could meet just about anyone walking down the street. And then you say, well, what do you do? Well, I work at such and such. Really? Oh, I'm a car salesman at such and such a dealer. And that you could just see exactly
that
what you're
dead to them.
Just instantly. I hate you.
It's like saying that you're on the sex offender map.
Yeah, you ripped off my grandmother. It's
totally.
Like, oh, what did I do? So anyway, it's fun,
Scotty, is this like the same guy calling back about the song? This guy, whoever this is? No, it's not different. Hello, Mike?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Rick. What's up, man?
Hey, you're calling about the delivery driver song.
Yeah, I'm a delivery driver, and... I don't notice people picking their nose. I notice more of the women.
Today we salute you, Mr. In-the-Car Nose Picker.
See?
Hold on, don't play the whole thing.
I don't have any way of stopping it. That's the problem. This card-o-matic, this software that I use, as soon as I start to play something, there's no stop button. Why the bagpipes? Why always the bagpipes?
We should page Scotty J and ask.
Okay.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
So, Mike, what kind of... Do you drive truck? What do you do? What kind of delivery do you do?
I drive truck.
All right, what do you haul?
Everything and anything.
Oh, so it's not for like one company. It's just a whole variety of things. So now what? So you don't observe the nose mining going on in the cars next to you?
No.
It's a lot.
Okay, this is unpleasant to talk about.
I'm trying to clarify that he doesn't see that.
Okay, he said it. He doesn't.
It's a lot of. It's a lot of cosmetic.
Mold, but I see more of the in the summertime at least the women.
It's a lot of cosmetic application, isn't it?
Yeah. A lot of cosmetic application, changing lanes, smoking a cigarette, and talking on the phone.
Totally. And then you've got the, Sarah's turning away. Sarah's pretending to be busy with the computer right now. All right. Scotty, why the bagpipes and the,
okay, let me explain the delivery driver sounder.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to be the 18-wheeler driver looking down at the person, you know, gold mining. Okay, obviously.
Yes.
Not that the 18-wheeler person was doing that.
Okay.
So we got that straightened out now. And I don't know what happened that day, but I heard bagpipes in my head, so it just had to be.
Did the bagpipes ever tell you to kill?
No.
Okay. Here's the thing, is that all your sounders share this trait of being like an hour long.
Right, it does need to be chopped down a little
bit.
Yeah,
you could hear with a little judicious editing.
Some of my ideas are you can be talking over that with the delivery driver as it kind of plays in the background with the
bagpipes.
Let's
see how badly that works out.
Today we salute
you. Anyway, hello, we're talking to it. Hello. I'd like to now welcome to the Rick Emerson. See how that doesn't work?
Huh? Right.
Because there's like 100 things happening
at once.
No, you
haven't potted up too loud.
No, I don't.
So it's my fault. All right.
Actually, yeah, it's very low.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Yeah. Hey, how'd your 40th birthday work out for you yesterday?
It worked good, actually.
Did you ever get your keys out of your van that was padlocked shut?
We did. We went and I used one of those grinder tools and actually grinded it off.
Really?
Yes.
And then you drove it at home?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go screen it into the phones?
Okay, goodbye.
Smart. All right, thank you.
You're 40 years old?
No, it's okay, because he's going to be making $30K a year any day now. Mike, thank you so much, and spread the word about the show, sir.
What was up with all the Ferraris yesterday, Dennis?
The Ferraris were for the Ferrari Challenge, which is an event that was all weekend. There was a rally as well as an event last weekend at PIR.
Oh, man.
So
there were some nice cars out there yesterday.
Yeah, the State Patrol put out an alert that there was up to 15 Ferraris in the excess of triple-digit speed somewhere outside the city.
That's fantastic. Were they hauling bootleg beer to Texas?
No, I believe it was cocaine to California.
That's Dennis Pitzenbarger who said that, by the way.
I did notice that the V12 Ferrari was trailered because nobody was driving it.
No, I got to drive that car at PIR, if you can believe it. And it was funny because I got to stick Ian in the back seat of that thing. And then as we were supposed to switch drivers, I never let him. I just made him sit in the back the whole time.
Man, I know I've told this story before, but Ian Gordon, former weapon master of this program, used to produce for Mike and Amy on our used to be our sister station on JJ. But I know I've told this, but man, Ian has the single best car story I've ever heard in my life, Ian Gordon. And that involves, I don't know who it was. It wasn't you and Brandy, I don't think. It was Ian and his wife, Jen, his lovely wife, and another couple. And they were going to go out and have some couple's night, some date on the town or whatever. And he was driving this Mercedes for a while that had a refrigerator in the back seat, and it was sort of hidden behind one of the seat panels. And you would, you know, in the back, you would pull, it was like a Batcave thing. You would pull up a part of the seat in the back of this Mercedes. It was like a $180,000 car. And it had a refrigerator hidden in the back that would chill 4 wine glasses and a bottle of wine. It was very cool.
Actually, it was set up for Cristal.
Or for, Sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
So when you're into club, and so you, but anyway, this is the best part.
I know right where you're going.
This is the best story ever. And so they're sitting in Ian's driveway, and Ian, of course, you know, you're driving a $180,000 Mercedes, even if it's not yours. You know, you want to show it off. You want to, you know, show off to the other couple. You know, like, hey,
and they get dressed up. They get ready to go out.
Oh yeah, it was like they were totally. I mean, I wasn't there, but they were totally dressed up and ready. Yeah, ready to whole. They were making a whole evening of it, babysitter and everything. And so they're sitting there in this $200,000 Mercedes in Ian's driveway, and Ian's like, "Oh, by the way, Fizzizzles, let me show you this. Let me show you how Ian rolls." And he presses a button, and like in the back seat, there's, and the seat rises up, and it like reveals a refrigerator in the back seat, like a very classy refrigerator. And he's like, "Let me show you something else, dogs." And he opens it, and it's like brings out the bottle of whatever Cristal or whatever it is, and the four chilled glasses. And he's like. It's like, yeah, you know, yeah, that's how it is with me, baby. Let's toast around. So they open the bottle of whatever it is. He pours them all around. They're sitting there in his driveway in this $200,000 car, and they're being very, like, very cool and very cutting edge, and they're, like, you know, all hip, and they're drinking their whatever it is, their alcohol out of these glasses. And then fast forward, they're like, well, let's have a few more, and the bottle just keeps going around. They keep getting drunker and drunker. They're still sitting in the driveway of Ian's house. And so you fast forward about 2 hours later, they're still in the car. They're all completely hosed. They are now so drunk they cannot drive the car. They probably couldn't even start the car. They're all passing out and like ill in this $200,000 Mercedes. They finally decide that they've drunk so much alcohol they all have to go inside to like recuperate. They get out of the car, and the first thing Ian does is just hurls all over the outside of the Mercedes. And as he's dressed to the nines in like patent leather shoes and a tie, he gets out.
All the while burning like $30 worth of gas, just sitting there idling.
Seriously, using an entire tank of gas. And then he's like in his tie, hurls all over himself, all over the hood of the car, and then then stumbles out of the lawn and passes out in the sprinklers. It was the best night ever. That's really how you impress your friends with your reputation as a sophisticate.
Excellent use of access to a car you'll never own.
God, it was the best. He told me that story. I thought I was gonna go all Fergie on him. I mean, it was really genius. All right, Mike, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Oh God, it's just the notion of like the image of Ian with a glass in one hand. And like, you know, just covered in his own spew, laying in a tie on the lawn the next morning in the sprinklers.
Well, we all know
there's a $200,000 Mercedes which has idled itself dry, covered in Ian's dried lunch. It's just the best image ever.
If you really know Ian, then you know that the tie went along with the shorts.
Oh God, of course. Oh my God. Hey, how about this, Rick? How about that? Let's see. When Dennis Pitzenberger gets in, which is now, why don't you ask Dennis why he's... here we go again. Why don't you ask Dennis why he's ripping off your show for material on his weekend gig at the other station? I happened to be running up the dial last weekend and heard him and another loose cannon going on about something. They hit a break while Dennis was about to make another inane point. This is the... that's not me. It's the emailer. He then referred to a guarantees... as a bridge to the next segment. Well, this isn't ripping off. This is just at,
thanks for making it awkward in here, though, Rick.
I'm not. I'm just reading the email.
Awkward my ass. Hey, you know what? For those that listen to the Rick Emerson Show, let me tell you, not only do I owe my entire radio career to Mr. Rick Emerson, I am nothing more than a watered-down bad photocopy of a bad photocopy of that, about cars.
Which means that basically you're just a bad copy of Scott Farrell, because that's all I am.
Well, that's fine. I don't, you know, hey, we both know from our love of Kiss, you take everything that is good and make it your own.
It's all about steel and diamonds, not glass, baby.
That's right, baby.
All right.
If you're trying to make fun of me, yeah. Whoa,
I didn't pre-read that. I wasn't trying to cause trouble.
You believe me, you couldn't offend me.
Hey, Scotty J is the Salvador Dali of sounder making. His creations are just a bunch of disparate elements thrown together that make no sense, but somehow you can't look away. All right. Well, we got a break here, and we're going to come back and more. You got to take off.
I can hang out for one more break, if that's all right with you guys.
Well, okay. We got to do the news. So,
Well, I'll hang out.
I was hoping that this would be a casual way to get rid of you.
I was hoping to be involved in at least one live read today. It isn't a day.
Sarah, do we have a live read coming up
right now?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Then I'll leave.
No, you can stay there.
Okay.
I'm only fooling. You stay there. Back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
naked.
Okay. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. And so forth. It's 503-733-2970. All right, just a few moments here. We'll go to the City Desk with Tim Riley. I still got to get to this zombie story right here.
Oh, we still have to play a couple of songs today, too.
We're going to do like 100 other things that we won't possibly have time for. I should just start doing the push-ups at the beginning of the program. We've got a delivery driver who wants to weigh in on the sound effect, and Jessica who wants to talk to us about Dante's tonight. We'll do that in just a second. Don't go anywhere. Let's welcome to the Emerson Radio Program now, a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy.
Well.
Joining us now. Hello, Ed. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Rick?
I just realized that we've had this... Yes? Sarah's making a face. We have this new beverage we've been drinking a lot of, this energy drink. And I realized just now that it's kind of screwing up my whole caffeine schedule.
You
which
really
I've...
can't drink it anymore.
Why not?
Because it is throwing off your whole caffeine schedule.
Well, I mean, it's not that. It's just the drink itself is fine. It's just that I have to recalibrate now when to refuel because I realize that typically my refueling happens at around 1:50 every day. I look up now; it's 2:10 here in Portland, and I haven't had my supplemental caffeine, and so I can feel myself beginning to wind down like the Energizer Rabbit. So I got to.
Kind of like me in the morning when I get up. See, I'm up at 2:30 a.m. Eastern, and then boom, I'm on the road probably about 4:30 in the morning, and then I have to get my caffeine before I get that ride downtown.
So. You get up at 2:30 in the morning?
Every day.
When do you go to bed your time?
Sometime about 8 o'clock at night Eastern.
Man, that is really crazy. That's insane. I mean, I admire your dedication and all. That's way more dedication than I would dedicated than I would be.
It's just you're talking about the caffeine. You got to have it.
It's true. I don't understand how, like, you'll meet people here occasionally go, I don't drink that coffee or the caffeine or whatever. And I don't trust those people because it seems like they're probably cyborgs or something. I don't understand how you get through the day without caffeine.
Probably amphetamines. I don't know.
like that's so out of the question in radio. Let's talk about Cynthia McKinney, who is right there. Now, she has no Joe-mentum. Joe Lieberman right now is our very favorite politician just because he seems so oblivious to the fact that he's going to lose badly.
I don't know. You think he is? He's starting to cut through it. I don't know.
Man, what is it, like a conspiracy or something? Let me just tell you this. We were talking to Gary Baumgarten earlier from New York City, and I... just in passing, made the observation that I believe that Joe Lieberman, senator though he may be, I believe that Joe Lieberman has reached what efficiency experts would call his level of incompetence, meaning he has plateaued, that he is at his ceiling of achievement. And that I didn't believe that Joe Lieberman was going to go any farther in his career, and that he seemed to be the only one who didn't realize that, that everybody sort of could smell the loser vibe on that guy except for himself. And man, it was like I'd kicked Gary Baumgarten's dog. I mean, it really was like I'd called one of his children ugly. He just uncorked this really furious pro Lieberman like rant on me. It was pretty great, actually.
Sam from Connecticut. I've always liked Joe.
Oh, and we were actually suspecting that Gary was a Connecticut resident and therefore had a vested interest or something. I'm sure Joe Lieberman is a very nice guy. I'm sure he's a nice man, a good family man, husband, father, all that.
Him too, you know.
What's that?
Do an impression of Joe Lieberman, too.
Well, we'd like to hear it.
I think that this contest is going to go down to the final moment. Not good, though, is it?
That's okay. Your voice is kind of very low.
He talks kind of like this when he talks.
All you need to do now is...
It needs work. Okay, never mind. It needs work. I'll be the first to admit that.
No, just work on the following phrase. We tried hard, but... came up short. And in the end, we just must remember it is the process itself that counts, and we will never give up the fight, or just something like that, because that's clearly
you do it better, Lieberman, than I do. Okay, that's it. I won't do Lieberman. I'm going to cut that one from my repertoire.
Well, I've had many years of experience explaining to people why I've lost, failed at something. So, that's really where it all comes from. So Cynthia McKinney, and everybody remembers her because she's the one who allegedly punched that Capitol Hill police officer. She then was so apparently confident in her re-election because she was the incumbent that she actually wasn't showing up to the debates.
She didn't show up for the debate. That really hurt her a lot.
As Hunter Thompson once said, it now looks like she might be beaten like a gong in this election.
She may be, and I'll tell you why, because of low voter turnout today. They're gonna get nothing out here today. Of course, these guys aren't going to come out in the heat. And the other thing is, people that came out before, the likelihood of them coming out twice is probably slim and none.
Now, is this a runoff? Is that what this is?
This is a runoff.
Yeah.
She could be done. I mean, she was done 4 years ago. She was beaten, and she's back and forth, and I'm sure she'll come back again later. But we're not counting her out. I just think that she showed up for the debate this time, and the guy didn't do really a bad job. I think this guy probably is well suited for the job because he's very quiet. Her opponent, so I don't.
And well, she just—I mean, she seems like a very what is the word they use? Polarizing. She seems like a polarizing candidate.
She hates that when people say that about it, but that's what the level of charge has been from all these political pundits, and they say she's really kind of ripped the thing apart. So she's got her supporters. They're going to have to come out in droves today, I think, for her to overcome this deficit that she's got in the polls. It's a big one.
I think on the whole, though, people would rather sit at home and watch Wheel of Fortune.
Well, they will be.
I mean, that's just kind of my assessment of the American electorate. Certainly, that's the case for me.
Tonight, I'm looking forward to playing the Wheel of Fortune machine in Vegas here in a couple of weeks.
Are you going to? When are you going to Vegas?
We're
going to
be heading out the 28th of August.
Now, is that you and your family, or are you and CNN?
My wife and I.
And you vacation in Vegas. Fantastic. Yeah. Where do you stay? Where do you stay in Vegas?
Well, believe it or not, I get this great deal on the Bellagio.
Really?
They sent this thing in the mail, and I said, that place is like a fortune.
Now, this isn't like a timeshare thing that you have to go through to get those, because they've done that where it's like, come listen to a boring seminar and stay in Vegas free.
No, it's a great place.
The Bellagio's great. They do that synchronized water display in front of the Bellagio. That's pretty great. You got a fantastic. And what is your preferred game when you go to Vegas?
Basically the slots, because I'm not a real gambler,
Ah, I see. Yes, okay.
We do the slots. I'm not a card player, and we just go for fun and,
You ought to try playing that three-card poker. That's the best odds in the casino.
I'll have to take lessons.
You should. All right. Well, sir.
I'll be mortgaging the house.
Good times. All right. Ed McCarthy, enjoy the heat, sir. And we will talk to you in the very near future to find out how all this shakes out.
Absolutely.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. That's a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We'll get these calls here. We should probably open the city desk here. Let's, ladies and gentlemen, the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Hi, Tim. How are you today?
Oh, I was sitting here reading High and Lois.
All right. Let's... Scott, we'll get to Jessica in a second. Scott, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm fine. Thank you for holding. You are a delivery driver.
Yes. And I deliver your precious Viso.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah, I would be... If I were you, I would be looking out for armed bandits. That stuff has a very... that stuff has a very powerful and strong hold on even
it's awesome stuff, man. I never had it until I heard it on your show, and then I was like, I got to check this out, and I did.
Attention
awesome
advertisers,
stuff.
The power of the Rick Emerson endorsement. So you deliver Viso, and it says you deliver, can we say you also deliver Budweiser?
Yeah, we have a contract with Viso and a bunch of other crap.
Scotty is demanding that we play this. Because
today we salute you, Mr. In-the-Car Nose Picker.
All right, I can't take that anymore. Okay, there you go. How can we help you today, Scott?
Well, I just wanted to call in to confirm that, down along 82nd Avenue, I see a lot of nose splunking and...
Nose splunking.
Even the occasional butt scratching.
That's a lot of fun. You're driving a large truck where you're sort of up above folks there in traffic.
Everything.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever, because you drive along there and you just see these people and it's like, are you just amazed that there aren't more accidents happening? Because it just seems like, it's not even the cell phone thing, but when I'm in traffic, it seems like everybody I see is multitasking in some way or another when they're driving.
Well, not only that, but I mean, people just do dumb stuff all the time, I mean, especially in front of trucks.
What's that?
The other day, I saw somebody roll a car, so that was fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you're in a truck, I mean, it's like, you have to be especially careful, because if you hit a car, it's just going to be gonna take that guy out with a dustbuster.
Actually, we don't have to be, I mean, we're careful, obviously, but we don't have to be as careful, because people just stay out of our way.
You can just throw your, you can throw your muscle and weight around.
Basically.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right, sir. Well, thank you so much for listening, and I will get a better delivery driver sounder for you at some point in the near future.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, Scott. You spread the word. All right, there you go. That's Scott. Jessica, hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
I got an email, actually, last night saying that everyone is supposed to be at Dante's at 7 o'clock this evening for a group photo.
Everyone being who?
Everyone that watches the show that is a Storm supporter.
Yeah, thank you, no. I'll be taking a nap, But thanks.
People that watch the show that want to support her, because she has no contact with the outside.
Well, this is a photo for who?
For her.
And so it's like a we miss you Storm kind of a thing.
This is just to kind of show how many people are listening and watching and showing support.
Now, call me crazy, but it seems like the more logical time to do such a photograph would be during the time when the show is actually on the air and everybody's there watching it.
I would think so. I don't know why they want people there 2 hours early.
Because
it's a bar.
Because it's a bar.
And people will drink.
Exactly. Because it's a bar and it's 7 p.m. There's not going to be anybody drinking, and they figure that's a good way to get people in there to do to do early shots.
Smart.
In actuality, most of the people who are in our listening base will be at home doing their pre-shots at home at 7 p.m. So if...
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I would speculate that the better time to take that photograph would be during the actual program. So that's.
I think that would be better. It would show everyone cheering her on.
Yeah. And
also it allows me to nap. So yes. So I would suggest like sometime through the 9 o'clock hour for that.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, Jessica.
No problem.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley has some exciting news for you.
With that, the plan has changed.
There you go. with one swing of the scimitar, we have severed the Gordian knot of when to show up. You just read some news. I'm going to get some coffee.
All right, I'll do that. About 48,000 pounds of glass spilled at I-5 after a commercial truck lost control and crashed into a guardrail. ODOT says more than 530 feet of guardrail was destroyed and 48,000 pounds of glass was smashed.
All right, I'm back. Did I miss anything?
No.
Okay.
Hugh Hefner said he's doing fine after a gossip item said the Playboy Empire founder had a mini stroke over the weekend.
I thought he had a stroke a couple years ago.
No, you're thinking of Dick Clark.
No, but it's funny when I say stroke, Dick Clark immediately is the first thing that comes to your mind.
I mean, it wasn't serious enough to call in Ryan Seacrest to take over for him, so things aren't too bad.
Right.
Well, the competition is heating up for CBS's The Rock Star. Last week, 22-year-old Dana Andrews was sent home due to her lack of experience. Maybe she lied on her resume. The Georgia native says being cut from the show has only made her want it a lot more.
I've learned enough about my own performance and what I need to fix. And definitely them supporting me and telling me I've handled myself well is only more motivation to keep following my dream.
You know, we talked to Storm yesterday, and did you hear that long pause yesterday when we brought up Dana being kicked off to Storm? And I said, did you find it? I forget what we called it. I think we actually just said that it was crap. And
No, you asked if she was as shocked as we were.
Well, there was a long pause. Yeah, and Storm said, that was a little shocking. And which clearly they all know that Zaira sucks. And that Patrice is terrible. And that Jill...
but she can't say anything about Zaira because now she's her roommate.
Yeah, but... I don't know. So what? I understand that they're roommates and all, but really, what do you need to be nice to Zaira for?
She'll leave the window up so the ghost can come in.
What do you really need? Like, what are you going to need Zaira's support for in the years to come? Like, what are you really going to need her in your corner for? So it seems like the entire country is united behind her, sucking. So, I mean, well, anyway. All right.
For kids' sake, because they're our most precious natural resource, 20,000 kids are hurt while riding in or playing on shopping carts A pediatrician at the Cleveland Clinic says serious injuries are possible if those carts tip over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And number two.
Obviously, they can get scrapes and bruises on their arms or legs, but the main ones that can cause the significant injury that would prompt the parent to take a child to the emergency room would be the head and neck injuries, which can very easily happen in coming, you know, from 3 feet.
In a shopping cart?
Yeah.
What is how quickly are you having to shop? If that's some sort of is this when you're going on the, like, shopping spree of the stars?
Those things like take up half an aisle.
Yeah, and shopping carts have gotten really huge over the years too. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. I see those shopping carts that have got that little smart wheel that'll lock up if you try to take it off the parking lot.
Oh yeah.
Those things kind of freak me out because I don't really know how they work. And so I sit there and I stare at them for a long time, trying to figure out exactly how the wheel knows that you've left, that you've, like, gone over that white line somewhere.
I think they'll taser you if you try to push them up.
I can only hope.
On top of the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Tuesday.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Okay, kids, is MySpace losing its cool? 17-year-old Margaret Marks thinks so. The Birmingham, Alabama high school senior was an avid user of the number one social networking website for 2 years. But I never use it anymore because most people my age now use Facebook.
I thought Facebook was just for high school kids.
Me too.
I don't know. Well, she's 17. Maybe she is one. I can talk to people I haven't spoken to in years, and you can join college networks and meet new people. MySpace is good for looking at bands and music. But for your own website, Facebook is much better. As the growing social network phenomenon continues, competitors are snapping at MySpace heels, portal. Facebook, Xanga,
This made sense for a minute. Oh, and then we passed some sort of a line of demarcation.
Okay.
And now it's gibberish.
I should spell out these words. Xanga. How is that spelled, you kids?
Xanga.
Why on earth would somebody call something that?
I don't know, Dad.
Then we have Wayne. W-A-Y-N. No E on the end.
That's probably like, where are you now?
Is that for boys or girls?
I don't know.
Then V-Mix. The most popular songs of the 60s and 70s.
Wayne totally sounds like, you know what Wayne sounds like? Wayne is like an alt country station in Kentucky, I bet. Yeah. It's like they have that, what is that station? There's the Jack format. You know, there's that, I should have seen these coming. I read somewhere there's a Jill format too.
Oh no.
There's Jack, there's Jill, there's Bob, there's that Alice format, which they had in Phoenix. Wayne would totally be one of those like Americana formats that like the guys with the square glasses listen to in Texas. Yeah. All right.
Well, others salivating over my over MySpace.
I think everybody needs a little more caffeine.
MySpace's 95 million users and recent crowding. Oh, this story is getting much too long.
Let's end it now.
Okay.
And
I'll never have to read it again. It will not find its way back into the rotation.
Here's your Geek Watch.
My Grandstar's hammer.
Should we break?
I think so, yeah.
I shall avenge you.
Break.
Ooh, loneliness.
We'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
Dangerous mix. Show and so forth.